we do want to thank Star Bank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. It is February 15th. This is the Viking Update Show with John Krasinski. I'm Jim Suhan. We are going to talk about quarterbacks because quarterbacks are always of interest. We will talk about Kirk Cousins, J.J. Watt. Have the Texans become the worst professional organization in sports? We have a lot to get to here. We want to remind you, you can find all the shows at TalkNorth.com. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod. Thank you to our sponsors, as you heard coming in, Star Bank, Bonfi, Twill, Manscaped and Pizza Barn. We appreciate all of our sponsors and all of our listeners. Let's start here today, John. If money and salary and dead cap money and all the financial considerations weren't considerations, who would you rather have if you're the Vikings going into next season? If you could have anybody you want, free draft. Cousins, Wentz, Garoppolo, Trubisky, Tua, Cam Newton, or Teddy Bridgewater?
Man, you know, Vikings fans may not like this at all, but I think it's Kirk Cousins for me of that group. I think Wentz, for me, the other guy who would be in that conversation would be Carson Wentz, just because I want to see if a change of scenery is needed there. I want to see, because we have seen him put up some amazing stats and performances when he has been healthy earlier on in his Philadelphia career. And for whatever reason, everything just really went sideways after a couple of injuries, and then just in general with that team very quickly after the Super Bowl run. And so I would be willing to take a flyer on Carson Wentz, but I think Kirk Cousins is much more proven. I think you can feel a lot more confident about what you're getting out of Cousins than any of the guys that you just listed. Garoppolo isn't healthy very often, and what we have seen when he is healthy, Kyle Shanahan is scheming things so they're running the ball 50 times a game just to kind of just not have to expose him to any sort of workload that would create turnovers that would not work for the offense. Trubisky, I don't trust that late season surge that he had at all. There has not been enough of a body of work there. Cam Newton, I don't think physically he can hold up any longer. And Teddy Bridgewater, look, I'll say this right now about Teddy. Wonderful human being, great, great leader. Who knows what would have happened had he not gotten injured. But even before he was injured here with the Vikings, I always thought that he was valued by fans, maybe even by the organization, a lot more than his production made him deserve to be valued. I mean, he was a good player for the Vikings before he got hurt, but he was not a great player. He was a game managing quarterback who made good decisions, but won some games for them. But it wasn't like he was, young star quarterback that was going to be, a surefire Pro Bowler every season. Like I never saw that with Teddy. And so, certainly what he did in Carolina and the way he's come back from the injury is admirable and inspirational, to be frank, but he still hasn't looked like a quarterback that I would say you would go into a season confident that you could not only get to the playoffs, but win playoff games with him. So, with all of that is to be said, long story short, is I think it's Kirk Cousins. I think that he stays healthy, number one, that he has a great arm. He can make a lot of the throws. You just have to make sure that you build the right offense around him to put him in a position to succeed. And I think all of those quarterbacks that you listed are guys who need the right moves made around them. They're not guys that are going to just naturally raise the level of play of the offenses that they're in. So I'm taking Cousins in that group. I don't know about you.
I will give my answer. First, I want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton. Also, let you know if you'd like to join our growing number of advertisers on this show or across the network, you can find, you can reach Karen Clearly. You can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. Again, find all the shows at TalkNorth.com, including all of our outdoor content. And thank you for listening. I have many qualms about Kirk Cousins as a franchise quarterback. I think he's overpaid. And sometimes, and I think he's overvalued by a certain portion of the fan base, which is the way fan bases work. I still would take him over everybody else I listed. I do not trust Wentz at all. Cousins has had his outbursts and his spats with people, but I really, everything I've read and heard about Carson Wentz, I'm just not sure he's a leader. I'm not sure he's somebody right. You really want in your organization or have to commit to. Garoppolo, I think, is a poor man's cousin. And I think Kyle Shanahan believes that too. Trubisky, I don't trust. I think he really needs to run to have value. And I just don't like having to – I like running quarterbacks. I don't like quarterbacks who have to run. Tua, haven't seen enough yet. Cam, I just think he's taking too many hits. I love the way he plays, but he's just been too battered. And Teddy, I think if things had gone perfectly here, and if he could have been the guy running an offense that relies on the run and play action, all those things, I think things could have gone pretty well for him here. But he did not look good this last year. I thought he looked terrible at U.S. Bank Stadium, got outplayed by Cousins by a significant margin. I don't know how much to attribute to the knee injury or maybe just, he just might have limitations. But he's just not as good a player as Cousins. And I thought that was going to be different. That surprised me. Teddy was not as good as I thought this year. Cousins was better than I expected the last 10 weeks of the season. I can't say I trust Cousins, but of all the quarterbacks I listed, I would absolutely take Cousins over the rest of them. Here's my follow-up question to that. Did the fact that Cousins played really well, he played terrible for 6 weeks, then he played great for 10 weeks. Do you look at that 10 weeks that finished the season and say, that is absolutely going to carry over and Kirk Cousins is going to have a great year next year? Or do you look at it as almost typical Cousins in that he kind of plays just well enough to keep himself in position?
Yeah, I think that you have to go into next season assuming that Cousins is going to be the quarterback, and I'm very much assuming that he is, with your eyes wide open on him, that he is not in that upper elite tier of quarterbacks who just by virtue of having them on your roster, you have a chance. And look, his numbers alone make him belong in those groups. I mean, you look at, there's all sorts of different, how many touchdown passes of 25 yards or more. There's all sorts of different kind of analytics that put Cousins in that very upper tier of quarterbacks. But I'm not ready to do that. I mean, I'm not going into that saying, okay, you have Cousins here. What we saw in these last 10 weeks is definitely what you're getting for a full season next year. Because I do think one of the things that has prevented Cousins from elevating to the, Rodgers, Mahomes kind of a level of quarterback is that he does have those times in a season that he does not play well, that he stubs his toe. And it's not just one game. It's not just two games. It's usually multiple games. And a lot of times it's against the elite competition. And so I go into it saying there are going to be things that you have to do to try and give Kirk the best chance to be his best self. But also knowing that, hey, there's going to be a couple of weeks where you better have Dalvin Cook running for, 160 and a couple of touchdowns, or else it's not going to work because Cousins is going to have those off games. That said, this whole conversation really boils down to what are your options? And I think that Kirk Cousins right away for this next season is the Vikings' best option at quarterback versus Wentz, Trubisky, Garoppolo, all those, outside of Deshaun Watson, who I just don't think the Vikings are in the running to get.
They can't get him.
Yeah, is he Kirk Cousins is there is the best that they can do. And I don't think it's just like, well, this is the best of a bad group of options. I think that Kirk is a good enough player that you feel pretty good about, but you also know that you're going to have to do a lot more defensively. You're going to have to help him on the offensive line. You've already surrounded him with a good amount of weapons. Maybe you add one more receiver to that group and then you should be okay. But you do have certain reservations about Cousins going into this. But hey, I would have fewer reservations about him than I do about any other quarterback that's truly available to them on this market.
Agreed. All right, let's talk about Kubiak, J.J. Watt, and I have a little more quarterback talk to get to here. We do want to thank our sponsors, StarBank.net and Bonfi, BONFE.com.
That's right. Bonfi is new to the show here. We're happy to welcome them, especially in February when we're in the middle of a cold snap. They do heating. If your furnace needs to be tuned up, call Bonfi for sure. They also do drains and sewers and do all of the maintenance that you need with that. A lot of homeowners do not know that the sewer line that runs from the house underneath the front yard is the homeowner's responsibility until it connects to the city sewer. A sewer line can get clogged by tree roots, or the sewer line can crack or break or collapse because it's old or the ground shifts over time. If a sewer line gets really clogged, it can cause sewage backup into a home, and you do not want that. Some signs you might have a sewer line issue: toilets that gurgle, lower level showers and tubs that always drain slowly, laundry tubs that back up, a floor drain on the lower level that regularly backs up or drains slowly. Bonfi does drain and sewer services to help get things flowing again and make sure your sewer line gets taken care of. Bonfi can repair or replace your sewer line, or they can put in a new liner inside of your old sewer pipe, making it like new again. If you have a sewer or drain problem, better call Bonfi. Save $150 off an intensive sewer line cleaning when you tell the folks at Bonfi you heard about it on the Viking Update Show.
And thanks to our longtime friends at Twill, Twill and the Dining Galleria. They are open, they are safe, but you can also just go to twillmn.com. You can buy gift certificates, you can check out everything they have. They will work with you in whatever way you want. You can also always email Scott Dayton, the owner, at scott@twillmn.com. They will take care of you. Curbside pickup, contactless pickup, whatever you want to do, twillmn.com. So let's get to, we talked about Kubiak, Clint Kubiak, becoming the offense coordinator last week. Any further thoughts on him? Did you get any hints during his press conference as to what might look different under him than his father?
Yeah, you know, I think that you get the impression that I he's going to have to walk a fine line, right, Jim? Because one of the main reasons that he got this job is that he has the same or very similar philosophy to his father, came up through this system, and this is the kind of continuity that Mike Zimmer wants going into a very important season. It is clear that they believe that having Kirk Cousins in virtually the same system for 3 years in a row is only going to help him take more steps to be more productive and have an even better year this year than he did this upcoming season than he did this last season. But I do still think that Clint Kubiak has to make sure that he brings some of his own wrinkles to this system to show that he's just not, you know, a clone of dad. And, you know, there is going to be some segment of people who look at this and say nepotism hire, say that, you know, the only reason that he's got this job after not having a coordinator experience at any other level is because of his last name. And this happens a lot in professional sports. And so if he is going to justify the position that he's been given and the responsibility that he's been given, he's going to have to bring a little something extra to it. What exactly that is, I'm not sure yet. I think it's hard to say, but we do know that he has a good relationship with Kirk Cousins, that they have spent a lot of time together over these last couple of years. So there should be a lot of collaboration, and he should have a pretty good idea of what works for Kirk Cousins and what doesn't. And that will give him a chance to be successful here. Will he be successful? I don't know, but it's clear that they want him to be relatively close to what Gary Kubiak was, to what Kevin Stefanski was. And I just want to see how much he pushes the envelope and how much of a leash he does have to kind of incorporate some tweaks to the system that he believes will help unlock this offense even more.
Yeah. And as I always say about nepotism in sports, I don't think it's right, but that doesn't mean it won't work. There are people who get their jobs because of their last name and succeed, you know, I mean, it's not an attack on the individual as much as it is an attack on the process.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, we've seen plenty of instances over the years, Wade Phillips and Kyle Shanahan and all sorts of different instances of kids who grew up with a coach father who just have the love of the game, the understanding of the game at a different level, all of those things that can help them succeed. But there's no question that having that pedigree puts them in position to have higher profile jobs like offensive coordinator, like head coach, much sooner than it would if their last name was not Kubiak, was not Saunders, was not, you know, Bickerstaff, was not a lot of these positions. Like, that's just the way that it is. It is incumbent upon the children to really then justify it. And, you know, I've talked to Richard Pitino about this a lot. I've talked to a lot of coaches' sons about this. And I do believe that they face an uphill battle in terms of trying to shed that label and really justify their positions a lot more than some other coaches do who come up the ranks. Now, the trade-off is they get these opportunities a lot easier. Would Richard Pitino have been a Big Ten coach at 31 or whatever if his last name wasn't Pitino? Absolutely not. So you get these opportunities and you have to cash in on them, or else you're just going to be dogged by the shadow of your old man for a long, long time. But yes, we have seen instances where it absolutely works out and works out great, because that just, it's such a part of who they are. It's part of their DNA, and it gives them just a different feel and experience with things. So we'll see if that's the case with Clint Kubiak. It certainly could be.
I have another thought on that. We want to talk about J.J. Watt. We do want to take one more commercial break and thank Manscaped, manscaped.com, and Pizza Barn. Tell me about Manscaped, John.
That's right. Support for Viking Update Show is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I have the Lawnmower 3.0. It's trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. It's lightweight, easy to use. Take it in the shower with you. Take it on the road with you. It's got a battery that lasts 90 minutes. It's waterproof technology. It's safe. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code Vikings at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code Vikings.
Pizza Barn and Prince has been sponsoring the network and the Preps Day with John Millay show for a long time. Go to pizzabarnprinceton.com. They are right by 169 up in the Northwest Metro. GPS it. They'll take you right to the door. They've renovated a beautiful wood space. Great food, great beer, monthly pizza specials, pizzabarnprinceton.com. Check it out. Highly recommended. They also have gluten-free crust, which I really appreciate. All right, so my last thought on the whole nepotism thing is I have read some Malcolm Gladwell. I don't always love him, but he does make some really good points in some things. And he came up with the idea that you needed to put in 10,000 hours of something before you really become a master of it. And one of the things he pointed out, you know, looking at outliers like Bill Gates and the Beatles, people like that, is they were in situations earlier in their life where they had access to something that the average person didn't have access to, and they spent an incredible amount of time. You know, like the Beatles went to Germany and played in Berlin, and they played 8-hour sets. So they're constantly have to play off each other and learning, you know, having to improvise and having to play their instruments, you know, at a high level for an incredible amount of time. Bill Gates grew up around computers, you know, a whole computer system, a university computer system, where he would go sneak in there at night and spend 8 hours on computers. You know, having that access can be great. And that's one of the reasons that young coaches with familiar last names can succeed. Now, once again, that's not necessarily fair, but it is the way the world works. Let's move on from that and talk about J.J. Watt. I don't see how the Vikings with their current cap situation could get him, but it is fascinating to see a player of his caliber out there as just an open free agent.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, like a lot of people wondered, well, why didn't the Houston Texans try to trade him and at least get something for him? Now, I think what the Texans have said is basically he gave so much to that organization that they wanted to put his future in his hands and kind of empower him that way. But holy cow, I mean, you know, yes, he's a little older. I think he's 32 now. He's not the overpowering, overwhelming force that he was quite in his earlier days, but he can still get after the quarterback. He can still really be a presence on the defensive line. And, you know, yeah, I don't think that the Vikings would be a fit. I think that probably Watt will look for something that's a little bit more surefire from a Super Bowl contender at this point, maybe the Packers. You know, I think a lot of people are talking about the Steelers because his brothers are there. But there's going to be several other suitors for him. But I think that, you know, he still has plenty left to give, and he's going to fit in on any defensive line, you know, wherever they put him. And, you know, for a Vikings defensive line that does need some help, they'll get Michael Pierce back. You know, they'll probably get Danielle Hunter back. And that will certainly help things. But I still think that the Vikings will go into this offseason looking for more options for depth, for help on that defensive line. It'll probably just be in the draft. Again, they just, with their salary cap situation, there's no way I can see them swinging anything for Watt. But they better hope that Green Bay doesn't find a way to add him, because that would be a nightmare next year.
Or even Chicago, you know.
Even Chicago.
I mean, you don't want to see – the Vikings do not want to see Watt with either Chicago or Green Bay. And one of the interesting aspects I've, you know, read up about Watt, just reading some of the analysts I really respect, they've said that he might be even better at this stage of his career if you put him at, like, you know, kind of the off tackle in a classic 4-3 scheme, where he gets to be kind of the defensive tackle who gets to rush the passer a little bit, doesn't have to worry as much about tying up blockers. He could be really dynamic inside, and he wouldn't necessarily need the pure speed you sometimes need to be an outside edge rusher.
Yeah, and the only thing that I just worry about a little bit with him there, Jim, is that can he hold up physically? You know, he's had some back issues over the last few years, but that's a physically demanding spot to play on the line. And so if his body is in great shape that way, if his back is okay, if he can play, you know, 15 games a year, you know, for the next couple of years, shoot. Yeah, I think he can have a tremendous impact with just the speed, the quick twitch, the ability to create pressure from those inside positions is really huge. I mean, if you can be in the quarterback's face as soon as he's taken the snap and you're collapsing the pocket from the middle, that just forces a quarterback to the outside. So I could see a scenario where, you know, maybe Watt isn't getting 10 sacks in a season, but he's creating sacks by funneling the quarterback to the edges where the speed rushers are. And, you know, getting them into trouble that way. I think that's entirely possible. I think he can still make a huge impact on a game and on a system with just, you know, that ability alone.
We spend a lot of our time, fan base and writers and media people, comparing the local franchise to the Super Bowl winners. You know, that's the most convenient window into which to watch, you know, to analyze your team. Okay, what do they need to be that good? There's another way to look at it, and that is that the Vikings are nowhere close to being as dysfunctional as the Houston Texans. Not long ago, the Houston Texans had the best receiver in the game, and they traded him for nothing. They had the best defensive lineman in the game, and they got very little out of him from a team aspect. And they had one of the three best young quarterbacks in the league in Deshaun Watson, and they may be forced to trade him. It's amazing to see a franchise that had these gifts. Or, you know, to put it more charitably, that was smart enough to acquire these players and get this little out of them.
I mean, it is a case study in dysfunction and mismanagement, you know. And, you know, hey, covering the Timberwolves for as long as I have, I know all about that. But this is, you know, you look at the way that players have been alienated. You look at the way that resources have been squandered. You look at all of those things. It is as bad as I've ever seen from a managing of a franchise from top to bottom. It was just a few years ago a team that looked like, yeah, it could be an AFC power. I mean, Watson, you had Hopkins, you had Watt, you had Clowney, you had all sorts of talent, all over the place. And they were getting to the playoffs. They were winning games in the regular season. They were getting to the playoffs. I don't think their coach was helping them very much, but you had all those two, and then just see how fast it has fallen apart. It's staggering, really. I mean, you have to make an effort to screw it up as bad as they have screwed it up. And if they end up trading Deshaun Watson, I mean, you know, to have to trade Watson and J.J. Watt and release J.J. Watt in the same offseason, that has to be one of the all-time worst offseasons a team has ever had. And this coming off of a season, an offseason where you traded the best or one of the top two or three receivers in the game for a broken down running back. You know, that's the kind of thing that should be studied, you know, in sports management classes from here to the end of time on exactly what not to do. The Houston Texans have just messed things up that badly.
And to take an even bigger picture, I'm just amazed. It's really fascinating to see people who basically became billionaires because they were really good at running one business. And then they get into any major sports league, and so many of them just can't function. They can't make decent decisions. It's fascinating. I don't know what that means. It's, you know, I don't get how someone could. And, you know, maybe I'm answering my own question. Maybe the fact that you're really good at one thing gives you a false sense of confidence or arrogance about your abilities in other fields.
I think that's a lot of it. I think that, you know, let's face it, most of these owners make their billions in something else. And heck, a lot of them have done an incredible job to amass that wealth and they've built great companies and they've really accumulated an unbelievable amount of money, leading their companies that way to get them to that point. But then they look at these sports organizations that they buy are vanity plays. They're fun money for them, and so I believe that they don't give this venture the respect that it needs because they're just like, this is just the thing I do on the side to have fun, where I make my real money with, you know, my computer business, my hedge fund, all of these other things. But this is what I dabble in just to have fun and get away from it. Well, if you treat it that way, then you make mistakes like this. The second thing that really just, we've talked about it on this show a lot, but I just don't understand why owner after owner continues to go back to the Patriots pool and act like that there's something else there to be found other than, guess what? It's Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Like, unless you get one of those two guys, like, there is nothing. This Jack Easterby, who was like the team chaplain there, like, the Texans are treating him like he was the one who had the secret sauce in New England, that he had this mystical ability to lead and to identify issues that need to be addressed and to do all these things. No, it was Bill Belichick and it was Tom Brady, and it was probably Tom Brady more than Bill Belichick. So what are we doing here? Like, that's the thing that it has happened time and time again with all these Patriots guys. And yeah, Brian Flores and Miami is having a decent time and they've had a couple others, but like in general, those guys go elsewhere and they fail because they are not Bill Belichick and because they don't have Tom Brady. Why can't we get this through our thick skulls and stop with it? It's just so lazy to me. It's ridiculous.
I love it. Good rant to end the show. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Thanks to all of our listeners. Wherever you listen to us, please rate us. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can reach Karen Cleary at KCLEARY at TalkNorth.com. Next week, let's talk about how much we missed the Pro Bowl.
Yes.
And I had a premise that I threw out recently, you know, would just Hunter and Pierce coming back turn this into a playoff team? I know what my answer is. We'll get John's answer next week. Once again, thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com, and we will talk to you next week.